This is Talking Clean with Irene, a podcast for anyone like me who wants to kick the toxins out of their life and live a more natural and sustainable lifestyle. Join me as I unpack how to live toxin-free with insights from scientists, doctors, the creators behind those beautiful organic brands we love, and other experts. I'm your host, Irene Falcone. Today's guest is none other than our very own on-staff Nourish Life naturopath, Melanie Ruckley. Now, I found Mel back in 2016 when I was desperately looking for a naturopath that could give me some advice for my own personal adrenal fatigue. Mel had been practicing at the respected Rock Lily Natural Healthcare Clinic in Sydney on the Northern Beaches. She'd been there since 2005. Then after I met her, I just knew I had to convince her to come and work with me at Nourish Life. Well, you know what? Since that day, she has been here ever since. Mel is honestly such a wealth of knowledge about natural health. Her strengths include skin and gut health, kids' health, and women's health. But I'm actually convinced she knows pretty much everything about everything. So, with all this naturopathic knowledge right at our fingertips, I thought, why not spread Mel's wisdom? Let's call her Agony Aunt today. So I put a call out on Instagram this week and I said, please send in any questions you've ever wanted to ask Mel. So today, here she is. I'm going to read out those questions and she's going to answer them directly for you. We cover everything from hormonal acne, adrenal fatigue, gut health and more. Now, please note, this is general advice only and not intended to diagnose or treat anybody listening. For anyone that has any health concerns, please do speak to your GP or healthcare professional, or you can always contact Mel directly here at Nourish Life for advice. Hi, Mel. Thanks for coming into the podcast studio.
Thanks for having me. It's nice to be here and I'm glad you finally asked me.
I know. I feel bad now. I've had all these other naturopaths and nutritionists and doctors in here and I've just realised I haven't even asked you to come in.
Very happy to help out.
Thank you. Well, I know I ask you 100 times a day for advice and things about me personally and my children.
Yeah, which is great.
Yeah, so I thought what might be fun is to put it out to all of our listeners on social media and ask them what they want to know from you. So I've got a list of questions from everyone. I thought I'd read them out and I'll get you to answer them.
Perfect.
Great. So let's start. Okay, you can see what we've done. We've organised these in categories. So the first category are questions that are about skin and hormones, so things like hormonal acne and breakouts. This should be easy because it's one of the questions I ask you all the time. What are the best products to improve acne-prone skin?
It's a really common issue that, people have. So basically I just check in with people to see what might be causing it. So there's a few main causes and then that helps us to choose the best products. So if it's stress, if it's gut issues, maybe it's poor diet, sometimes it's just hormonal fluctuations. So we've got lots of general products that help to balance out hormones, but basically you just want to identify what might be the cause for those sort of people.
Okay, so just say it's sort of hormonal, so like the monthly cycle and those sorts of breakouts. What sort of inner products can we take to help with that?
Yeah, so our liver is really, really important for clearing hormones from our body. So if we're producing too much of a particular hormone and our liver's not functioning properly, those hormones can keep circulating. So supporting the liver can be really, really helpful. So St. Mary's thistle, dandelion, even, you know, there's really simple things you can do like squeezing fresh lemon in lukewarm water in the morning and drink that upon rising. That's really nice for flushing the liver and that's such a basic thing that everyone can do. But products like all of the Beauty Chef products, the liver cleanse product in their range is really nice for the gut and liver support. So that's a nice thing you can do for the liver. And then if you wanted to get into, if it's something more chronic, you can actually, you know, we've got products in our naturopath section on the website where it gets a little bit more specific about.
Okay, we should remind everyone as well that you're a free service. So if anyone has any specific questions, email us at just orders@nourishedlife.com.au. Yeah,
or naturopath@nourishedlife.com.au and it'll come straight through to me.
Oh, even better. Yeah. And you'll just speak to some people one-on-one. And all of this advice, of course, is very general. But if something sort of, if you can relate to something like this and want more information, yeah, definitely contact Mel direct.
Definitely. And then the lymphatic system too.
Right.
So skin. So liver, lymphatic system. So if your lymphatic system's a little bit sluggish, and that can come from, you know, not moving your body a lot, eating lots of dairy, those sort of things. So to help to clear the lymphatic system, herbal teas are wonderful and they're a really great way.
So what sort of herbal tea then would you recommend? What kind of herbs are in this tea?
So calendula is lovely, burdock, nettle is lovely for the skin. So all of those sort of things. We do have a skin herbal tea that I formulated a little while ago and we've got to add that onto the site.
Well, yep. If people contact you, we can send it to them directly anyway.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, great, as part of our herbal sort of mix. Okay, so and how about alcohol? Because actually I've stopped drinking and so I have not had an alcoholic beverage for 2 months. So I went through Christmas and New Year's without drinking. So that must be great for my liver, right?
Definitely, yeah. And for your mental health as well, you know, alcohol is a depressant. So it's actually...
Made me really happy though. I don't know about that depressant. So I was giggling and carrying
off. Alcohol or being off alcohol?
No, being on it.
Well, yeah, it's a bit silly. What about the day after?
Oh, yeah. I was a bit too...
But you can, right. You know, if people do want to have a drink, there's clean drinks that you can choose so that you're not getting all of the preservatives and additives. So if you're having soft drinks with it, that's obviously not great for your skin. Sugar's terrible.
But so what's a clean alcohol then, like a vodka?
So like vodka, gin.
I heard gin's not good for your mental health though. Is that makes you extra depressed? Is that true or is that just a myth?
I'm not sure about that one. Like vodka and I even use sparkling water sometimes with vodka and fresh lime. It's lovely.
Okay. And so while we're talking about alcohol and clean drinks, have you been up on this new craze of alcohol-free gins and are you across those? I've seen them at like a Dan Murphy's and stuff. They're like these... They look like gin, but they're alcohol-free.
I haven't tried them. I haven't tried them.
Okay, I have to have a look at the sugar content in those because I think they'll be a great alternative.
I was thinking of trying the alcohol-free beer for my
partner. Yeah. So our buyer, Lucy, she's pregnant. She's tried the alcohol-free beer.
Think?
She thinks it's great because she was craving beer, as I was in my pregnancy, but I just have a little bit of the real stuff back then. I think this is a great solution and I think there's a massive movement to going more alcohol-free and knowing that that's going to clear everyone's skin up is great. One of the other things you mentioned was dairy because I've also – I watched the Game Changers and haven't eaten meat since. I had a little bit of cheese still, but no meat. And so I've never asked you, are you a vegan or a plant-based or what's your
– I've had a bit of a mixed history. So my beautiful older sister was an animal – well, she still is an animal rights activist. She's now a vet and she's doing really well. But she scared me into – being a vegetarian at the age of 9, she used to show me all of the animal liberation pictures and stuff. And so myself and two of my best friends at school went vegetarian from the age of 9. So I was vegetarian until I was about 22 and then vegan for another 5 years. And then I got into organics and biodynamics and started eating more consciously that way and introducing a little bit of meat stuff. But now I'm definitely eating more plant-based.
Yeah, I think just eating, I don't like to label it either. I just really just think going more plant-based, it has to be something in that. So rather than have
the, great for the planet.
Oh, and so great for the planet. Yeah, such a great inspirational movie if you do want to move into that direction. All right then, so back onto the hormones in the skin. I think we've probably covered this, but if we talk about cystic acne, what is the difference between acne and breakouts and then like a cystic acne? And are there special teas or herbs that you would recommend more for the cystic side of things?
Cystic acne is just a little bit more deeper in the skin. So it's affecting on a deeper level. And you'd probably want, with cystic acne, you might even need some specific herbal remedies to support you because it's more of a chronic presentation. But even, you know, some simple supplements that you can try if you wanted to try a few things before seeing someone. Zinc is a fantastic nutrient for healing the skin. Essential fatty acids are great. So
your omega-3s?
Omega-3. So some people prefer fish oils, but for the plant-based people among us, evening primrose oil is beautiful and that has a bit of an affinity for balancing hormonal conditions as well. So that's a good one. And then we've also got the sea buckthorn oil in the bioceuticals range in the Natch Pass section. So if anyone's interested in hearing about that, they can contact me.
What sort of things can we do to sort of balance our hormones out as women? Are you a fan of things like medicinal mushrooms and things like that for hormone?
Sure, absolutely. One other thing just to mention with hormones as well, and I get a lot of this in clinic, is when people's hormones are imbalanced, often it's because of stress. So often using, you know, some of the mushrooms that support adrenal function can actually help to balance out the hormones. So when you're stressed, lots of different body systems can be affected, but particularly your endocrine system. So supporting stress levels, healthy stress response, can definitely help. But there's some fantastic herbs that are just on the website that you can try. So the Fusion Women's Balance is lovely. And then one of my favourite women's herbs is Vitex as well. So that's chaste tree. And that's wonderful for balancing out the menstrual cycle. But just a note there, you can't take that if you're using any kind of oral contraceptives or any of the implants.
Oh, wow, that's important.
And the pills. So, yeah, that's really
just
important.
Is that common knowledge? Because you can just pick those up at your chemist, can't you, or your health food store.
That's why, you know, I love being part of Nourish Life, because people can actually ask. And I really encourage people to ask and check that supplements are right for them.
Absolutely. Okay, great. And then before we move off, I just want to mention Zilch as well, because we've got the Zilch formula. We've had that doctor on the show as well. And her formula is also terrific all-rounder for all types of acne as well.
And that's something that probably for cystic acne, if you wanted to try, I think that would be quite a good formula for that as well.
Yeah, great. You're supposed to just take sort of one course and then it sort of helps fix it. So you don't have to do it forever. So I like that one.
Yeah, Chinese herbs are great.
Okay, so let's move on to my favourite topic, which is actually adrenal fatigue. I had a whole bunch of my own questions on this, but we've just got this question, and it's what supplements can we take to assist with adrenal fatigue? Now, before we jump into that, I need to tell you a quick story.
Sure.
We have these lattes. So we have like the mermaid latte and some other lattes. Are you aware of those lattes?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. So there's one of those lattes that's supposed to be for energy, and because I am so tired all the time, I grab that particular latte. I wish I could remember which one it is. Anyway, it has ashwagandha in it. Ashwagandha puts me to sleep. It is the exact opposite of what I need it to do. Yep. Now, I, over the break, decided that I was going to really take care of my health, and I'm doing I had one of the naturopaths that work on The Shift. She's written a book. So I'm doing some of her courses at the moment. I talked to her about how I feel about this ashwagandha. Now, over the holidays, I took the supplements you recommended for me. Adrenaplex put me to sleep, and I didn't understand what the hell was going on. So I asked her, why do I have this really weird sleepy feeling when I take this? It's like the same feeling that when I have ashwagandha. Now, ashwagandha is called something else, and it's in that.
Withania, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That does not work for my adrenal fatigue. Can you please explain to me? Because in this question, you might have suggested that people look at that herb. Can you tell me why that herb, for someone who has adrenal fatigue like me, who's tired all the time, why taking that herb is making me more tired?
This is an interesting question, because there's so many herbs that support adrenal function, but they cross over into other areas. So some herbs, like you might find a better result with Siberian ginseng and all of the ginsengs that help to keep those energies.
That's
up.
What she told me to take, yes.
But on the other side, if you are trying to improve your health, supporting your adrenals and that sleepy feeling you get, and I think you got it from another supplement I gave you in the early days, and you're like, oh my God, I can't fall asleep.
Was that ashwagandha as well?
No, it didn't have that in it, but it had some calming herbs in it. So I don't know, you guys haven't met Irene, but you might pick up her energy from, you know, even her blogs and those sort of things. But Irene's high energy, you know, she achieves a lot. She's amazing. Look what she's created with Nourish Life. You know, that doesn't come from a sleepy person having naps throughout the day.
Just stop trying, mate, put me to sleep.
You know, from my point of view, I'm like, yeah, but, you know, sometimes it's nice just to, you know, you're revving, you know, in red at most moments throughout the day. It's nice just to pull that back a little bit. But you've taught me a lot as well, because some people don't want the revs to drop.
No, thank you. Keep me on the ginseng.
So let's give you the ginsengs and the activated B vitamins and magnesium, because you don't get drowsy with magnesium, and that helps to balance out the stress response a little bit as well. Kind of gets you back into your natural rhythm, so that you're not sparking up in the middle of the night. Instead, you're getting your energy throughout the day when you should.
Well, there's two things you've given me. Actually, there's three things that you've given me for my adrenal fatigue that have changed my life. So we're talking now from me not being able to ever do any exercise to me actually being able to go for a walk a couple of blocks with my husband after work. They are, firstly, iron. So what I didn't understand was, I came to you and said, I don't understand. The iron tablets you were giving me, I ran out. So I went and picked up these other iron tablets from a TV ad that I saw that have a lot more iron in them than the ones you were giving me, but they didn't give me the energy that yours were giving me. Now, the ones you recommended were Bioceuticals, Iron Sustain, which is what I take. And you said there's a difference between those ones, even though there's less iron in them, than the other ones I was taking. Can you explain to me the difference? And the second question is the other one's B12. I was taking B12 and I'd have a Barocca or whatever, but now I'm on these activated B12s. I feel really good on them.
Mm.
Why are there so many different versions of these vitamins and how do we know which ones to take?
You know, there's so many different genetic health conditions that are coming up now that makes us more aware of the need for people to actually consume the activated form of certain vitamins. That's basically what it is. So you could have been taking all of the synthetic vitamins and the non-activated form and you just weren't using any of it.
So what's the difference between activated vitamin B12 and just a normal regular vitamin B12? What's the difference?
So B12 is really important and you're not converting that at all when you take a different supplement. Because you're mostly plant-based now, it's important for you to have the activated.
Yeah, but I feel better now eating plants and having a B12 vitamin than I would having a steak for dinner every single night.
Yeah.
And then iron the same. What's the difference between iron sustain? Has that been cooked differently or something
versus? It's formulated with activated B vitamins. So it's got some iron. I think it's got a little bit of vitamin C in there as well to help with absorption and the activated Bs as well.
Okay, so
I love that one so much.
Right. So definitely speak to Mel or your naturopath about the vitamins you're currently taking if you're not feeling great on them. You could be needing them to be more activated. The other herb you've put me on is rhodiola.
Yeah. Rhodiola is beautiful and I use that for a lot of hormonal imbalances, particularly when there's an adrenal fatigue kind of background. It's a really nice herb. It's a bit of a pick-me-up herb and, yeah, it's lovely. It's one of my favourites.
Tastes awful, but it is definitely
Although ashwagandha is one of my favourites too.
I know
so
it
gonna
is.
Have to,
I know.
We're going to have to agree to disagree on that one.
I know. I might be able to have that for sleepy time. Okay, so we've sort of covered the question on what supplements you can take to assist with adrenal fatigue because I would consider myself an expert on adrenal fatigue because I have it and I think I'm coming out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of the other things, if we've got adrenal fatigue, other than those, what sort of teas should people drink? How do we deal with having adrenal fatigue and relying on coffee? But knowing that coffee is actually not being good for your adrenals.
Well, you could just, you know, limit your intake. So, you know, keep it to one or two a day. But if you are finding that you're really overexhausted, you know, use some of these herbs. The Mason's mushrooms are fantastic, the adrenal one. You know, but if you get yourself on just a few key supplements, and I'm not an advocate for supplementing with, you know, loads and loads of things actually. Moving more towards just finding the right ones for you and just taking a couple of things. So finding the right herbs for you is really important. So speak to either me or, you know, go and see a naturopath because they're going to be able to listen to your case history and find out exactly what you need.
How do you get adrenal fatigue? Did I get adrenal fatigue because I started a company and I was just on flight or fight mode for like, I want to say 9 years straight, which I was, but I feel like I had adrenal fatigue prior to starting the company, which is why I started Nourish Life, because I really wanted to get more energy. And a lot of my fatigue I thought was coming from all the parabens that I was loading my body up with. And how did I get it?
Well, it's just a state of your body running on adrenaline rather than the noradrenaline. So you're in the fight or flight response. So basically when you're in that sort of response just from doing too much basically, and that could be, it could be working hard, it could be, you know, really intense sport, that sort of thing can drain you, worrying can drain you.
Could it be my job? Because I worked at Universal Pictures for like 7
years. Yeah, pressure.
I remember when you're releasing a movie, imagine like 7 years of your life, you're releasing a movie every 2 or 3 weeks and your entire advertising campaign, so we're talking like $1 million, $2 million, $3 million marketing campaign is all spent 3 weeks leading up to opening day of this movie. And the amount of pressure it was for those campaigns to work constantly for 7 years straight, surely that must have helped run me down. Do you think?
Definitely.
And then I thought I'll start my own business so I can get out of the stress. And then it was 10 times, then it was 100 times more stressful.
Yes.
Okay, so there's heaps of people listening that have a family that are working in corporate or have started their own companies. How do we do that? And are you going to say take ashwagandha, aren't you? How do we do this?
And actually, my first tool would be to pick up some life tools. So I can recommend all of the supplements under the sun, all of the herbs, and they're great to get you through and to help you recover and build up your energy. But if you don't have some basic life tools in place to help you manage that ongoing stress and pressure of everyday life, and pretty much everyone's under stress these days. We're just living a high-paced life.
Okay, great. So what is in our toolkit? Give me the top three or four things that we need to have in that. One's going to be meditation, isn't it?
Yeah, but I know that that word scares some people. Yeah. They think that you have to become, you know, a yogi sitting up on a mountain, you know, really flexible, all that sort
and
of stuff.
And I don't have to spare 20 minutes to do this.
What I love is mindfulness at the moment. Okay. So if anyone wants to look up some, there are some great mindfulness apps on that you can download and they help you out. So there's some little guided meditations. But basically what I like about mindfulness is it's teaching you how to just be present in every moment. So, you know, and I do it when I'm doing the chores at home, you know, and you constantly have to remind yourself just to come back and just do things with thought and just be in the moment and just be thinking about exactly what you're doing rather than thinking about 50 million different things outside of what you're actually doing in that moment. But I'm reading a little book at the moment called, I think it's Buddhism for Mothers, and they've got a really nice mindfulness section where it just explains how you can bring mindfulness into your family life. Yeah, it's really lovely.
Okay, so mindfulness. What else?
So doing a little bit less or simplifying your life a little bit. Okay. So just learning to say, you know, if you are feeling a little bit overrun and someone asks you, oh, do you want to come out tonight? And you're like, oh, you've got a bit of fear of missing out or FOMO or whatever. And you think, oh, I'd love to go, but yeah, I will come. And then actually it was probably the point where you should have said, actually, I'm going to stay in, I'm going to read a book. And
I'm going to have a nice warm cup of ashwagandha and go to bed.
Yeah.
Okay.
And actually, and this is something that I struggle with as well, but getting to bed earlier.
Oh, so I know.
9 o'clock is lovely just to get up, to get to bed earlier. But I feel like I'm being robbed of my adult time because the kids go to bed, you know, a little bit earlier, and then I like to just have some adult time. But that's really important. If people can strive to just get to bed a little bit earlier and get a good sleep
cycle
going.
But reading a book in bed, going to bed at 8:30 or 9, reading a book in bed for an hour, that's okay. Or are you saying we
absolutely
have to go to sleep?
No, that's great.
Okay.
Yep. So that, and then choosing healthy food.
And exercise as well.
Yeah, definitely. Time in nature. It's just so valuable. And finding something that you enjoy. So if you're not enjoying being outside, there must be something that you like doing outside.
Well, I don't have any of those things in my toolkit. No wonder I got adrenal fatigue. All I enjoy is working.
Yeah.
And responding to customers to get people's orders out. I just love to have time with my children as well. But the thought of if someone said to me, would you like to spend the day having a beautiful picnic on a lakeside in the sunshine and reading a book, having your children there, running around, whatever, and in nature, or would you prefer to be in the warehouse packing orders, getting them out the door?
I know what you're going to say.
You know what I'm going to pick? Give me the ginseng, 2 cups of coffee.
And the warehouse.
I know.
Beautiful.
Okay. So the next question is about chronic fatigue. So I actually, this is a really interesting question for me and probably anyone listening. What is the difference between adrenal fatigue and chronic fatigue syndrome?
Well, adrenal fatigue, you'd get signs of being imbalanced stress-wise. So, you know, and that can affect lots of different things. So you might be getting sick often, like with colds and flus, picking up every bug that's going around, not sleeping all that well, waking up in the
from
middle of the night.
From chronic or
adrenal fatigue.
Oh, right.
So they're all signs that just your stress hormones are a little bit imbalanced.
I've stopped. I used to get sick all the time, but I'm telling you, this is not
that's
documented,
amazing.
But do you know what stopped me from getting colds and flus all the time?
Tell me.
I'm probably in trouble for saying this. For me personally, I have not gotten sick since I started using a tongue cleaner.
Oh, beautiful.
Perfect. Is there a link there?
Oral health is so important for every other area of your health.
Really?
Definitely. Absolutely. Yeah. There's some nasty stuff living in our mouths.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. Okay. So I don't know about the scientific research. That's just the Irene personal research.
There you go. Irene's top tip.
That's right. Okay. So tell me then, chronic fatigue, how that's different.
Chronic fatigue would be more along the lines of someone who's been run down for a while and then you reach a point where you actually physically, a lot of people can't get out of bed. You know,
but what
so
does not getting out
tired
of bed mean? Because that I do feel like that sometimes on the but I suppose I do get out of bed. Do these people really cannot get out of bed?
Well, it's different for everyone.
Okay.
There'd be so many different cases. But often chronic fatigue syndrome can have different things underlying as well. So that's when you really want to see a practitioner that's going to think outside the box and investigate lots of different things, you know, things like ongoing bacterial infections, you know, like, you know, were they bitten by a tick a few years ago? And so it gets very involved and you really have to do a lot of testing and make sure that you're ruling out a lot of serious underlying factors, I guess.
So I don't have that, do I?
Because I don't think so.
I mean, I am doing exercise 3 days a week now and I'm able to walk around a block a few times. It's probably just the adrenal fatigue. So there's a massive
gap.
And that's
something that's your tendency. So we've all got our separate personalities and our body's way of kind of operating. And that's just something that it's nice for you to be aware of for the rest of your life. And just you'll be able to pick up when you are becoming run down and you think, actually, that's right, I've got to give up the alcohol again and I've got to, you know, get back on track. So
no more glass of wine and packet of Smarties for dinner. I haven't done that for years.
Good girl.
Yeah. So someone has asked though, what is the best diet or supplement for chronic fatigue? Now I know we said definitely see your practitioner, contact Mel or whatever, but in general, if you've booked an appointment for, you know, a few weeks' time and you just want to start something, what sort of things can people do to help that sort of over the counter?
Yeah. So basically magnesium's a big one
here. Right.
So magnesium, especially with fibromyalgia and things like that, like if there's a lot of muscle soreness and stiffness.
And is that internal or is that rubbing it on?
Both.
Okay.
You can do both. And some people like to do both. Some people prefer just the external application, which is fine. But a lot of time.
A magnesium flake bath for someone would be
beautiful.
Yeah,
absolutely. Okay. Yeah, and the arnica massage oil from Walita is beautiful as well.
Okay.
But yeah, bath salts every night, and they're great for kids too, when, you know, because kids are getting really, really, well, they're run down from school these days.
Like, you know, my daughter.
My eldest, you know, he's just finished year two and he gets run down by the end of the year.
Yeah.
So magnesium salts in the bath every night are fantastic.
And they don't even know you've put them in there, and that's the great thing, because you can't get kids to take supplements.
Oh, mine
well, yours probably can. Yours can.
But you've got to, I do have to, they become a little bit more fussy. They're happy to take a dropper full of foul-tasting herbs.
Are
straight
they?
Into their mouths, but the sweet tasting powders, or they reject any day. Yeah, so you've just got to find what works for kids. So you can always, you know, some like liquids, some like,
and you can put the mushrooms,
tablets,
the Mason's mushrooms and stuff in their pasta sauce as well. I had him on the podcast, and that's a great way to sneak
beautiful.
It in for kids. Yeah,
beautiful. Yeah, yeah. There's always tricks to sneak things in.
Okay, other
So chronic fatigue, we're talking about supplements for that. So
magnesium
activated B vitamins and adrenal herbs.
And how about food? So for someone that's got fatigue, what would you recommend would be a great, like, lunch for them? I know for me, I've started getting some organic deliveries of spinach and I've been sautéing it with lemon juice and a bit of garlic, and I'm loving that for my energy. What would you suggest if I said to you, what can I have for lunch that's a good plant-based energy-boosting food?
Yeah, so soups are great, but I know it's not the time of year for soups. But soups are wonderful because they're easy to digest and easy to get a lot of nutrition out of. You can add different, like, seaweeds and things to increase the nutritional value. But, you know, a really nice veggie and lentil soup is wonderful. But then even just if you just have a lot of plant-based material, so all of your grains and your salad vegetables, all of those sort of things, and then just a little bit of protein. So if you're plant-based, that might mean, you know, some tofu and some nuts and seeds and a bit of olive oil drizzled over the top. And if you're a meat eater, that might be like a piece of chicken, or you don't need a lot of protein, but just something to help your body build back some of those muscles and for your energy as well.
Does protein equal energy, or is it vitamins that equal energy? Carbs okay?
Carbs are great for brain energy.
Okay.
And athletes like to consume a lot of carbs before a big event or something.
I just like to consume a lot of carbs, and then I'll just say, yeah, I'm going for a run tomorrow. But, of course, that'll never happen. Okay, moving on to the next question, pregnancy. What is your best tip for fertility? I bet you look after so many people trying to get pregnant. What's your best tip, or if you've got more than one, on getting pregnant?
Yeah, so we can come back to adrenal fatigue again. So so that's probably the biggest factor, I think, these days in preventing or making it difficult for people to fall pregnant. So being under stress, and that stress really just affects so many different areas for conception. But for fertility, I love doing a good solid cleanse or detox a few months before you even actively start trying. And that's the best time to cleanse and get rid of any kind of toxins, heavy metals, that sort of thing, just to give your chances of conception and the conception the healthiest start.
Is there any specific science behind this? But so many women have said they've stopped using all of their products full of parabens and just junk. Like, we're putting 500 different chemicals or whatever on our bodies all the time. People have, I know, because they come to Nourish Life. Yep. They just say, oh, my doctor or fertility specialist said to go toxin free. Is there any science stopping putting all those chemicals on your skin and on your body to help conceive?
If you think of the chemical load that we're exposed to these days, even all of our beautiful Nourish Life customers that are completely toxin free, we walk outside and we inhale smoke, and especially at the moment with in Victoria and New South Wales, but car fumes. There's so many things that are out of our control. So all of the things that are in our control, and that's what we need to worry about, things that we can change and we do have a choice in. So we've got to kind of stop worrying about things we can't change so much. And, you know, taking the power back and removing chemicals out of your everyday life just relaxes the burden that's placed on our bodies, on our liver, on every different part of your body can be affected by different chemicals. And some people are more sensitive than others, of course, but it's so important to get rid of those chemicals.
And get back to nature.
Exactly.
As well. Yeah, get out of the city and all those fumes and get back to nature. Wow, okay. All right, so moving on to gut health. So I've done a lot of podcasts on gut health, and we had a couple of gut health experts on the show, but I've not asked you about gut health. So I've got some questions here that our social media people have asked. The first one is, if you have to take antibiotics long term, what probiotics would you recommend? That's a good question, because there's so many probiotics. Which one do you take if you have to take antibiotics? Which one?
It's getting very specific now with our microbiome, and we're beginning to understand a lot more about specific strains of probiotics and what they can assist with. For prolonged antibiotic use, I would recommend a straight, it's Saccharomyces boulardii. So that'll be in the SB Flora Active in the Bioceuticals range. Yeah, and that's fantastic. So I remember when I first started practicing, we used to advise people just to take probiotics after they'd stopped taking the antibiotics, because we thought that they'd just be killed off.
Oh, right.
By the antibiotic. But now there's a lot of research to suggest that it's actually very protective to take the probiotic, you know, even before if you know you're going to be starting it. But if it's, you know, taking it during and after is actually really protective for the gut.
Wow. Okay. So how about Inner Health Plus? Does that have that in there, or is that just an overall? Because whenever I'm on antibiotics, a chemist would give me the Inner Health Plus. And I used to be a fan of that. Is that changed now when we go more specific rather than one size fits all? Or
yeah, it's definitely getting more specific. And I think that the Inner Health Plus, I think they might have an SB at the moment, but it's not in the general formula that people used to take as standard.
Okay.
But that's wonderful for general gut health, and they do cross over. I'm sure that they still help. But yeah, if you can get the SB Saccharomyces boulardii, that's
okay.
The one.
I won't try and pronounce that. Thank you. Oh no, the next I want to read the next question out. What are your thoughts on coffee? Is it good for your gut?
Okay, so let's talk about
that.
Keeping it clean, like what we talked about with the alcohol. So if you're having a coffee with or six coffees a day with lots of full cream milk and three sugars and, you know, some caramel syrup in it, or, you know, that's probably not a great thing to do.
No. Is my double shot espresso with my Mason's mushrooms inside it, is that okay?
Look, that's a great option. How many coffees do you have a day?
Okay, so I do a double shot in the morning, and this is the thing. Since I've stopped drinking alcohol and since I've gone plant-based, I kid you not, I used to have two double shots before I left the house. I now only have one.
And that's it for the day?
I'm trying to get to that, yes. Yeah. I might have a oat cap with the girls at work when I come into the office, but I am trying to drop that oat cap and stick to the double shot. So, but what are your thoughts on that for my gut? Because I do have gut health issues, which I'm seeing a specialist for anyway.
Yeah.
And I know I've had to lie to them about how much coffee I've had. But because
I think that happens a lot. So it depends how you react to it as well. So does it send you off to the toilet? Does it?
No.
Do you get any kind of, do you get anxious from it?
No.
Some people even get lightheaded. You know, you feel a little bit nauseous. I know if I have a weak cappuccino probably three days of the week. And if I have some days I'm like, sure, I'll have another coffee. That sounds very social and I don't want to miss out. I'll have a second and I get incredibly restless, anxious. I actually feel uncomfortable.
But that's how I feel all the time. So for me, if I don't have it, then I don't feel normal.
Well then.
So it makes me feel normal.
But I think a double in the morning is fine.
Okay.
And you might find you've only really been getting this increase in energy from having the right supplements for how long, maybe a month?
Yeah, only a month.
So
yeah.
Imagine at 3 months, you might think, oh, I'll just have a single shot.
That's what I'm – sometimes yeah. I just will have a single shot, exactly.
Yeah.
But I also find if I have a super green, so if I have either the Wellco greens or the Vital greens, the all-in-one in the morning, I won't need a second cup of coffee at 4 o'clock. I know that. So there is not a day that goes by where I don't have that.
And there's beautiful herbs in both of those formulations.
So coffee, is it good for your gut? Yep.
Probably not.
Yep, that's fine.
But, you know, don't beat yourself up over it if you're keeping it nice and clean and the number's low. You know, some people might be having 10 cups a day and that could push you into a state of adrenal exhaustion. You're borrowing money from your energy bank that you don't have.
They don't have.
So you just get into energy debt. You don't want to be in energy debt.
No. Next question is someone would like to know what, Mel, what your favourite breakfast is of the day. How does a naturopath start their day?
It's different all the time. I'm actually, that's a hard question because I actually have so many different breakfasts depending on what's going on. And one of my favourites is...
For a 40-year-old, sort of 30 to 40-year-old mum with kids, that's us
yeah,
and sure most is. Of our customers, what would be the best? What would be your favourite?
Can I talk about my favourite smoothie?
Yeah, okay.
It's got a bit of protein. It's got lots of healthy fats. It's a really nice smoothie for getting going and it kind of keeps you going for a little while. I often have it with a breakfast though just because I need to eat regular meals. Otherwise, I don't quite feel right. So this isn't a meal replacement, but it can be if you're on the go. And I often make a little bit like a huge batch so that I've got some for later in the day. But so cashews, a couple of medjool dates, cacao powder, some MCT oil, the coconut oil. Mavers is, so they make really nice spreads. So they've got a cacao spread with loads of seeds in it. So you put a tablespoon of that in it. It's like a big, beautiful
chocolate nutty. So what liquid are you putting in there?
I just put water. Oh, you right. can put coconut water or any of your, you know, plant-based milks, but I just do water. So, but the cashews actually make it quite creamy. So it's like a beautiful smoothie. So what else? I've forgotten something. And I often put some of the Heal Your Gut powder and sometimes some collagen too.
Okay.
Into that one. That's beautiful.
Okay. And how about a solid mix. Breakfast then? Are solid. You an eggs and toast girl or are you a porridge girl?
I do like eggs.
Okay.
And I like porridge. But eggs, you know, a poached egg with, you know, some tomato, spinach, garlic, mushrooms, and leftovers. Leftovers are great for breakfast. I often make a nice, like on a Sunday, I'll just have a big bake-off and just have, you know, quiche and stuff. So if I'm really struggling for time, I'll have a piece of spinach quiche in the morning. But, yeah, I like to make my own granola as well. So loads of seeds, nuts, coconut flakes, cacao, and you just kind of, you can put a little bit of, you know, honey in it or whatever if you like to, but, and you just lightly bake it in the oven. And that's a nice one just to have with rice milk. And I'm a rice milk girl.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. Sorry, grain-free people.
I'm a bit, okay. Yeah. Not oat milk?
I like oat milk in my coffee.
Yeah.
But for breakfast, I don't know why I've just always done rice milk.
Okay. Well, I wanted
I'm
to.
I'm sure some people have something to say.
No, I think right now, I don't know. It's not dairy. So how bad can it be?
Yeah.
Okay. No, I wanted to say that Deb.
Yes.
Side. Yeah, our Deb, who is vegan and yep. who is also a chef, a vegan chef, her breakfast that she does.
I bet it's beautiful.
Oh, my gosh. So it's a risotto for breakfast, but instead of rice, she puts oats.
Oh, I love it. She's, beautiful.
Yeah, and I thought that looks amazing. And you could just throw frozen veggies in that.
Wow.
It's like a porridge, yep. a savoury porridge.
Beautiful.
Because she won't have the eggs.
Yeah, beautiful.
So I'm off eggs now as well, though.
After having my own chickens, I don't mind having eggs, but I'm really, really, really fussy about the eggs that I buy if I have to buy some.
All right. Thank you for your favourite breakfast, your favourite smoothie, and Deb's favourite breakfast as well that I shared with everyone. The next question's about air pollution. We touched on this before. What do you recommend for dust, pollen and smoke allergies? And I guess that's cigarette smoke, but also all this horrible smoke that we're getting now from the bushfires. What do you recommend to protect ourselves?
It's a tough one because it's, you know, there are a couple of really big days in Sydney. I know that people said, you know, just stay indoors if you've got any respiratory illness or if you get affected by the smoke. And you actually couldn't, sometimes you just can't stay indoors. It's not feasible. You know, you could put like wet handkerchiefs over your mouth to kind of prevent the smoke. But if we're just talking about dust, pollen and just allergies associated with it, there are some supplements that you can take. So quercetin is a really, really nice supplement that it's a bioflavonoid. So you can take things like vitamin C, bioflavonoids and quercetin are really, really good for treating allergy symptoms. So I remember when I lived in England, when I was 20, I was allergic to dogs, but I used to take quercetin on a daily basis just for a preventative, and it worked so well. And I don't really get allergies now because I don't have animals in the house, but I often recommend that one for people that just need an alternative to Claritin and things.
That's amazing. There's a natural alternative to Claritin.
Yeah, it doesn't work in all cases for everyone, but I found it wonderful and a lot of people really, really
benefit from it. Is that in any tea or anything that people can?
No. But there's a bioceuticals supplement that we've got, quercetin, and then homeopathics are quite good too. So if it's something that's affecting your life in a really big way, actually getting in touch with a practitioner and having a look at reducing things in your diet that might be making you a little bit more prone to allergies, it can come from the gut as well. So reducing your susceptibility to allergies is really important for those sort of things. So yes, you've got the symptomatic relief with the quercetin, but you really need to look at, you know, supporting gut health and healing the gut a little bit, supporting the lungs with herbs and nutrients, that sort of thing.
Would that at all be helpful with my daughter for her anaphylactic with nuts? Not that I would let her have a nut, but if she was to come across a trace of nut in a biscuit and she was to take that herb, would that help at all or not really? It's a different type of allergy altogether.
It depends. If she's in an anaphylactic reaction, it's definitely worth trying. Does she get hay fever and things like that?
No, no, she doesn't, no. But I just wonder sometimes, so for example, a good example might be if someone's wearing a sunscreen with macadamia oil in it and they touch her, she'll get hives on her hand.
Okay.
So having that herb in her diet might help that hive not coming up, for example.
Yeah,
perhaps
it might. And also, you know, getting some herbs like nettle is really good for allergy prone people, just to help to kind of minimize
those reactions.
And that's in lots
of teas.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, okay. And it's really cleansing. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Interesting. Okay, we've got chronic sleep apnea. Is that more of a GP?
That's more of a GP.
Okay.
Yeah, sleep apnea. But
what is that?
But if you need help with sleep, I can help with that.
Yeah, you can put people to sleep. Give them some ashwagandha. Actually, I might add, no one's asked about sleep, but if anyone has any problems with getting to sleep, Mel is your girl. Mel and I
put everyone to sleep.
She'll put everyone to sleep. Where were we? We went on TV together. Was it Channel 7 or Channel 9? We went on the mornings, didn't we? Talked about sleeps for Sleep Week, about all the wonderful supplements we can do for sleep.
Yes.
There is I have to say something though about sleep. It's changed my life. Nothing has changed my life more than this. I've discovered there's this new sleep mask that's out that I found from the US, and you put it on and it doesn't matter. It's just a sleep mask, but the way it's designed, it doesn't matter what time of day it is, but you put this on and you're knocked out to sleep within like 20 seconds. I put on my child, everyone falls straight asleep. Anyway, I've contacted them and they're going to let me bring them into Australia and sell them on Nourish Life, which is amazing. They're just 100% block out eye mask.
Wow.
And they're amazing. So you'll be able to recommend those to people when they contact you soon.
Excellent.
Okay, so sleep. Come to Nourish Life for help with sleep. And the last question is, have you heard of a link between taking collagen and increased anxiety? I've never heard of that. Have you?
I have heard that
because everyone's taking
collagen
it now.
Could not be great for people with high histamine, unless that may have some sort of connection with creating a nervous system issue.
Okay. Mm. Yep. Right.
So there's no single product that's good for everyone.
Okay. Interesting. So All right, I haven't heard about that, but would you suggest that people that have high anxiety stay away from collagen?
Oh, no, not high anxiety. Maybe if you're really prone to allergies and that sort of thing. So you really need a low histamine kind of diet, and there's specific diets that can help with that.
For those people then, they might not want to take the collagen supplements, but you might want to go to something like the Beauty Chef Collagen Elixir, which isn't actually a collagen. It just helps you produce your own collagen.
Exactly.
Okay, so that's a good solution for them perhaps.
Yeah.
Well, Mel, that has been awesome. I think I got my own diagnosis in all these questions I wanted to know as well.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Is there anything you think we missed?
Probably lots, but, you know, if anyone has any further questions about anything, they're more than welcome to get in touch.
This is fun. We should do this again. I think if anyone's listening, why don't you also send some more questions in, and if you put that you want them answered, like, on the podcast, we'll just do another podcast with more questions. We'll keep everyone's questions completely confidential, of course.
Great. Perfect.
Great. Thanks, Mel. Love having you here. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. This podcast is produced by Nourished Life, Australia's home of toxin-free shopping. To learn more and get all the show notes, visit us at nourishedlife.com.au. If you have any feedback about the show, you can reach me on Facebook or Instagram at Nourished Life, which is all one word. Don't forget to subscribe to Talking Clean with Irene in your podcast app. And finally, if you like what you hear, please give me a 5-star review. It really helps other people to find the show. I'm your host, Irene Falcone, and I'll speak to you next time.